Hi everyone, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together, we're the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. The phone number is 749-1444. And if you'd like to make a pledge during the WAIF Pledge Week, and remember, without your pledges, we wouldn't be here, we'd be home sleeping. The phone number for that is 961-8900. And our lovely receptionist, Jim, will take your call and your pledge. With a pledge of $25 or more, you get free pizza.
We have Terry Anders from the Center for UFO Studies here with Chris and Rob from WAIF Cincinnati. And also on the phone line right now, we have Mary from Kentucky. What up, Mary?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Yep.
Hey.
I just wanted to know what would happen if, like, the government actually gave the information to the public. What would happen to the human race if
we really found out
what was going on?
Would everybody freak out and jump off a bridge?
Well, that's debatable. I kind of think not, but it all depends on the scope of the information. Apparently, there's something that's frightening the government enough to withhold the information. Now, if we just look around, we can see that nobody has conquered and enslaved us up to this point. So, apparently, there's no real threat to society as we know it.
You know what the aliens are waiting for? The aliens are waiting for gun control to go into effect. Then we take our Smith & Wessons, and then they're going to come down and try to take us when we're unarmed.
But, I think maybe there must be another agenda as far as the government is concerned, and it's almost undecipherable at this point. But
oh man, I think humans are just too self-centered to even think that there is another being out there in our universe. If
right.
the universe is infinite,
mm-hmm.
then there's infinite possibilities
right.
for other life forms.
Sure. Sure, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Talking about infinity around here, I'm liable to have a flashback.
but you
deal with it, man.
You make
funny. I'm dealing, all right.
Mary.
Yeah.
You gonna lay off the cigarettes long enough to save enough money to come to the lecture Saturday?
Well, now where is that lecture, and how much does it cost?
Okay, it's at Zimmer Auditorium on the UC campus. $8 for adults, $6 for students. Just prove that you're a student.
Does that mean students of UC or students of every elementary, junior high, and high school in the area?
That covers it right there.
In college? What about
college? Why not?
Thomas More College.
So is it, well, I guess that qualifies.
My name is Mary's a student.
Mary, are you a student?
Yeah.
Great, $6.
Where are you a student at? Don't say the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah. That's the one.
That's two packs of cigarettes. You're halfway there.
Well, thanks a lot, Mary.
Bye.
All right, bye. All right, Terry, here's a million-dollar question.
Right.
I heard these people out in California say they get sucked up in the spacecraft and have to have sex with each other, and then
mm-hmm.
they get put back down. I mean, have you heard? I mean, I know that sounds like one of those things that would be on the cover of the National Enquirer. But I heard that one was, like, kind of legitimate. You heard anything about
it? I had this dream the other night, and this UFO came and sucked up me and Kathy Ireland.
Yeah.
And a lot of beer.
Yeah. Well...
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah. Back in the late 50s, a case like that did occur down in South America, and that seemed to have some pretty reliable documentation. But for the most part... the abductee had intercourse with a female alien, so that's a different kind of close encounter altogether, I guess.
Hello.
But anyway,
a lot of the
fringe stories that you hear are just that, fringe stories, and I wouldn't worry too much about them.
Ayatollah, you're on with Chris and Rob, Terry and Jim.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you know, this. I just want to explain to you about the UFO thing. Though. This is Ars Hola, and what I want to tell you, you know, it's kind of a trite matter at this point because, you know, this planet's about to get kind of vaporized as far as...
Vaporized how?
Well, it's, you know, it's sort of like we're in an age right now, sort of like the fall of the Roman Empire, you know, it kind of cycles.
I know, we're paying athletes so much money, and the kids are getting stupider, and they don't even know who Walt Whitman is anymore.
Guns in school, nobody's reading Shakespeare.
Dopes everywhere,
yeah.
The drugs are in the streets, and when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns, and
kind of a case of implosion,
control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Yeah, and don't blame me, I voted for Bush. We got paranoid.
That's pretty obvious, you know. Of course, you know, there should be lots of people out there with lots of money to pledge to you. And I'm going to pledge $50 right now, if that's okay with you.
Hey, it's $50!
I'm going to pledge $50.
Ayatollah.
After all, you know, we've had, hello.
Yes, go on.
Thank God you're pledging during
12 years of Bush and Reagan, we all should be rich by now, right? And, of course, Bill Clinton's such a bad guy, and they caught him, they busted him. You know, I mean, he actually made a bank deposit in 1959 for $12.50. You know, that should, you know, we should impeach him for that immediately, you know.
You got to be careful.
And then maybe we can resurrect Bush and Reagan, and then we'll all be even richer than we have become over this last 12 years, you know. And of course, it's okay, you know.
How dare Hillary Clinton make money?
Yeah, Dwight Hillary, boy, you know, she either made too much money or not enough. But whatever it is, it's really bad, you know. She's a real horrendous creature there. Anyway, you know, the UFO thing, right? Mm-hmm. Well, these are beings from our future, you know. That is, if there were a human evolution that would continue as we have, which, of course, that's not the case as in our particular phase of the space-time continuum. You know, if you look back to what happened when Columbus discovered America, you know, people still couldn't believe that the world was round then, you know. And right now, science is way ahead of what the public perception is out here.
Mm-hmm.
Science knows for a fact about the other dimensions that exist and about the way the space-time continuum works. And they know for a fact that, of course, UFOs exist, and but the scientists have been bought off by the military establishment, which wants to see some way to cash in on it. And they don't want people out there to know that the military is such a bunch of weakling, latent homosexuals, which is what they are, you know, so they want to play games with the CIA and the FBI and give them all jobs covering up this UFO activity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take too much of a clown to, you know, to look into it for, you know, the slightest degree, and to find out that, of course, it's all legitimate that, you know, the UFOs are happening. There's about 78% of the population has had either direct or indirect experience with it, you know. So, you know, the real clowns are the ones that are going around saying that it's not happening, you know, that there can't possibly be any such thing.
Well,
there's enough phenomena going on in every phase of existence right now that our little game we've had going here for the last few thousand years is starting to look real shaky. In fact, we've got ourselves painted into a corner. Like, look outside. You can't walk down a street without getting shot, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
So maybe you ought to, like, you know, wake up to what's going on, folks out there.
You're
you know,
the man!
You hicks out there that are still talking about maybe there's UFOs and stuff, you know. Maybe try to join the, you know, the possibilities that the human race could achieve, you know, rather than to stay stuck down here and pretending we're all a bunch of dumb shits. And we all know the game, you know.
All right, Ayatollah, slow down now.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right.
Ars Hola.
What's your name?
Mars.
Okay, we're going to take you off the air and we'll let Jim...
No. Help.
Well, what else you got on your mind?
Well, you know, just...
I know it's pouring out your ears and all.
Hey, listen, folks. You know, there's a thing called the Intergalactic Council. You know, these are beings that come from all over the known universe and all the other universes, and they meet in Mount Healthy.
How many?
You know,
Mount
every
Healthy?
Tuesday night, and there are organizations called the Star. What have we got here? We've got the Ascending Light Intergalactic Ascension Alliance, which exists up in Morrow, Ohio. Are you aware of that?
Mm-hmm.
These are actual people you see walk around the streets, but they're also able to transcend the basic normal existence that you live in. And
are you able to transcend
become
your basic
light
normal
bodies,
existence?
You know, and this happens like locally, so you guys ought to get hip, you know. Everybody ought to start,
we're trying to get hip,
getting
hip
to it, man.
Here.
How could you be so out of it, you know? This has been going on for 40.
What
this
about
is going
the
on for
Alphadorons?
You know, it started with Alice Bailey and at the turn of the century, and the
continues to this day with
the beings, you know, who've been around the Swedenborgen Foundation. There are huge networks of this stuff going on, you know, and here's, like, I never hear of it anywhere in Cincinnati, you know.
You're hearing it right here on Chris and Robin. We thanks for your input.
It's about time, you know.
All right, talk to
Awaken
Jim now.
Awaken to the paradox.
Okay, give Jim all your money. Thanks. I got to catch my breath. Hold on, man. Morrow, Ohio, the hotbed of UFO activity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to radio station EXP. Tonight we are featuring an interview with a very peculiar-looking gentleman who goes by the name of Mr. Paul Caruso on the dodgy subject of are there or are there not flying saucers, or UFOs. Please, Mr. Caruso, could you give us your regarded opinion on this nonsense about spaceships and even space people?
Thank you. As you all know, you just can't believe everything you see and hear, can you? Now, if you will excuse me, I must be on my way.
But I don't believe it.
On the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Listen, you can pledge to any of the fine shows here at Wave, but only if you pledge to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. $25, you get the very useful ceramic coffee mug
and a slice of pizza from No Anchovies, located in the heart of sunny, romantic, gaslight district of Coryville.
You get voting rights, Wave's program guide, your choice of the Wave sticker magnet, or collector button. And also the coffee mug, and only for Chris and Rob, but only for the next 1 hour and 47 minutes, do you get a slice of pie from the tasty No Anchovies Pizzeria. We're going to go to Angelo. He's on the phone line right now with Chris and Rob and Terry Andrus of the Center for UFO Studies.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Word.
Hey, I'd like to talk about this article I read recently.
Go ahead.
In the Omni magazine.
Mm-hmm.
This was about UFOs and these three guys who have evidence,
right,
that read some secret documents, but mm-hmm. they're not allowed to give the information out to the public.
Right.
And they said there was five different species of UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you guys read that article.
Yeah. I can, Bob Lazar was one of the folks that they were talking about, and he had a job with the Air Force. I was speaking before about Area 51 at a highly classified installation where he claims to have been working on reverse engineering from a crashed saucer to apply it to American warfare. We have to, sort of measure that carefully, because if these fellows are coming out of the intelligence community, sometimes the stories they tell are meant to confuse us rather than to enlighten us, because the intelligence community has always downplayed the UFO phenomenon and tried to create an atmosphere of ridicule around it. So while those stories are interesting, it's something to be patient with. As far as five species, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're having five different planets visiting us. As far as we know,
the differences... Well, as that last caller said, they might be from the future.
Yeah, and that of course, should give us a little happiness, because if they're coming back to visit us, that means we've survived.
And they might like us, too.
You see that?
That's always a possibility. But we have to keep in mind that we have racial differences within a species, so may they. It just may be a little more pronounced. It's it's an alien life form. It's very difficult to determine how an alien life form should develop. What, you know, we can't project any limitations on what they do, because those are human limitations, not alien limitations. So I don't know if that answers your question. I hope it does.
In the article I read, the propulsion system
right.
for the alien aircraft,
mm-hmm.
it created antimatter and
right.
reacted it with matter.
Right.
I was wondering if with today's technology, is that possible?
Well, they've been working on that probably since the atomic bomb, as far as matter, antimatter, and seeing what happens. If somebody's actually got it working, they've kept it a pretty good secret until these guys, of course, have uncovered it. But
thank you. You're welcome.
As far as any application that we know of publicly, we can't say. But it is possible. Anything's possible. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right, Angelo, thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
You know, Terry, a lot of skeptics
yep.
will say, yeah, sure, some hicks out in the boonies in Nebraska or Iowa, some drunken alligator wrestlers down in Florida. They're the ones that always go see the UFOs. Those guys who were married to their cousin sucking out moonshine from a baby bottle are the ones that see UFOs. Why don't they ever land in New York City? Why don't UFOs ever, like, go to Central Park where the people are? Have UFOs ever been sighted in New York City or any other big place?
Sure. Sure. Previous to the Great Blackout in 1965, there were a rash of UFO sightings in New York and Manhattan. And that leads some researchers to look into that. And in fact, a couple of UFOs were seen in close vicinity to several power plants just before the lights went out. So, yeah, UFOs have been seen everywhere. It's not just out in the sticks.
All right, Craig, you're on with Chris and Rob and Terry and Jim.
Hi, yeah, I got one question. On what basis does an expert, you know, say that a particular photograph of a UFO is authentic? I mean,
right, that's a good question.
Because they're usually blurry and
right.
faded out.
Right. First of all, any kind of picture that's taken of a UFO at night where it's just a blob of light is practically useless, because there's no other information in the photograph that can be used as a frame of reference. When you have a good shot during the daylight, you have to be real careful about the other objects in the photograph. If the UFO is out of focus and everything else is in sharp focus, well, that means either it was vibrating at a very high speed or it's a bad double exposure. There's a whole range of measurements that can be made. If the photo is taken with a typical fixed focus lens, again, the information there is very limited, because there's no frame of reference. You wouldn't know if something was far away or close to the camera. It could be something small and close instead of something large and far away. The best pictures, of course, would be those taken by cameras that can be focused, because then you have a field of view. And if the camera's set on infinity for focus and your UFO is nice and sharp and an automobile 10 feet away is a little fuzzy, then you've got something that's worth looking at, because then you have the proper focus for the objects within the frame of the picture, and then you can make your measurements and maybe say at the very most the UFO is twice the size of the automobile. So then there's some computer enhancements that can be done, but that's typically to find wires or strings that the UFO models may be hung from. So yeah, there's a whole range of things that you really can get into, and it's rather complex at times.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Craig.
All right, thanks
bye.
A lot. Bye.
Has anybody famous ever seen a UFO, or are they always some crackpot hillbilly redneck?
Well, if you remember a couple years ago, Whitley Strieber claimed his abductions.
Who's Whitley Strieber?
Whitley Strieber is a famous horror writer. He's wrote The Hunger, The Wolfen, and a scad of other wonderful horror novels.
Talk about a bad movie. That Wolfen was a bad movie.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Anybody else famous besides Strieber?
Oh, nobody that's come out. Jimmy Carter claims to, former President Jimmy Carter. Oh, yes.
No.
Claims to have seen a UFO.
No.
Sure,
in
sure.
In Georgia?
It may have been in Georgia.
Was he with Brother Billy at the time?
I don't think so.
Six-pack of Billy beer.
Yeah. There have been some prominent folks. Hmm? De Cuellar? Oh, you want to talk about that? Go ahead.
That was my setup. I said, anybody speak?
Nah, go ahead. Go ahead. You start it off.
From what I understand, my information, my sources have told me that there is a possibility that former United Nations leader head, I don't even know what they call
Secretary
it.
General. General.
Secretary General. Javier Perez de Cuellar may not have only witnessed an abduction on a New York City street, but he may also have been abducted and is now seeking treatment.
Yeah, again, that's unverified, but the suggestion is there. This ties in with a case that Bud Hopkins is working on, which is called the Linda Cortili case. And not only was Javier Perez de Cuellar involved with witnessing it, other people in New York,
his bodyguards,
and a couple of independent witnesses have been located as well.
So Linda gets floated out of, what, the 14th floor?
Something like that.
And Perez is there on the street. What's Perez doing on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning? A good question, but we won't get into that.
I guess maybe it was still jet lag for him. I don't know.
Probably.
Anyway, again, it's unverified, and I think we'll have to wait to see what Bud Hopkins digs up. It could blow up in his face for all we know.
I understand that when confronted with this evidence, de Cuellar denied it and said, I wasn't
right.
abducted. I didn't see anything.
That's
I don't know nothing.
That's
see
correct.
No evil, hear no evil,
yeah.
Say no evil. I'm retiring. Get Boutros Ghali in here. Take
yeah, and of course, the cover for that then by Hopkins was that, well, of course, he's trying to avoid admitting it, that he's covering it up.
Well, then that's just a big catch 22.
You got it.
Dr. Woodward, you are on with Chris and Rob and, of course, Terry Andrus.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going pretty darn good.
Dr. Woodward.
Hi, Doc.
Manchester High School.
Yes?
Speak up, Doc. Sound off like you got a pair.
Huh?
There you go.
What can we do for you tonight, Dr. Woodward?
Well, I'm very interested in the UFOs and stuff, and I think one of my kids that go to my school has been abducted by aliens.
Oh, yeah? How do you know?
Well, his name's Bob.
Bob who?
I don't know his last name.
Okay.
He's a student.
He's not one of your students, then.
He got expelled for smoking cigars.
No kidding.
And he goes around people going, "Hi, I'm Bob."
Well, I think Bob may have other problems than being abducted.
Bob's got a lot of problems, let me tell you. I think Bob's a regular caller here at Chris and Rob. He's got a lot of problems.
Yeah, he does. I mean...
But we're plugging this book, The Truth About the UFO Crash at Roswell.
That's right.
By Randall and Schmidt. We also have to plug Mouthful of Bob. That is Bob's autobiography. It'll come out pretty soon.
We wouldn't let him write that. He got 3 detentions for handing that in.
Uh-huh.
We will not take that material at my school.
Okay. Well, are there any other indications? Did he show any other signs of having been abducted?
He has lots of twitches.
I'm sorry, what's that?
He twitches a lot.
He twitches a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too common in abductees. I still think maybe there might be some other underlying problems that this fellow has. So you might want to direct him to have some professional help.
I've been counseling him a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks, Doc. We got to move on.
Wait, he's been jacking off under his desk, too.
All right, bye-bye. 749-1444 is the phone number. Get in on
that was
this
a seedy, seedy comment.
If you have a pledge you'd like to make, 961-8900, and remember, 25 skins get you the very useful Waif ceramic coffee mug, and...
a slice of pizza, and 30 skins will get you a...
Hold on, a slice of pizza!
T-shirt, and...
What kind of slice of pizza?
Hot.
A no anchovy slice of pizza, huh? Yeah, you get a t-shirt for 30 skins.
For 35, you get an umbrella, and...
For $50, coffee mug, t-shirt, umbrella,
and...
any choice of the two, and if you call during Chris and Rob, you get...
a free slice of pizza with...
anything you want on it.
No matter what ingredient, if they got it, it's on yours.
From no anchovies, on Love
Boat. If you want, since it's a free piece of pizza, you could even get your slice of pizza and order every ingredient they have on it, and they got to give it to you.
Let's go to Brad. What up?
What's going on, man? You guys are always talking about the no anchovy pizza.
Yeah, it's great pie.
Yeah, have you ever tried Donato's, man?
Yeah, we've had Donato's.
It's okay, but it's...
Which do you think is better, though?
Oh, Donato's is not bad, but it's sub-superior quality
I think
to no anchovy.
Donato's has definite Cassano's-esque tendencies.
I don't know, dude. I think Donato's crushes no anchovy.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, boy. But you can be censored on this radio station for talking like that. You don't talk about my honeys like that. 749-1444 is the phone number here.
Terry, when did you become interested in looking at UFOs?
Oh, gee whiz, about 26 years ago.
So you were what, two at the time?
I have a young face. Yes, in fact, I did.
You've seen a UFO?
Let's hear it.
I did.
Really?
Yes,
let's
yes.
Into the anecdote.
Okay. What it was rather uninspiring. Sitting
in
the car.
Out there in Cleves.
not Cleves.
You're drunk to the gizzard, right?
Not when I was 12, no. But anyway, sitting in the car,
number 12 was probably one of your earlier experiences with, the old Mary Jane, huh?
I don't think I had a girlfriend at that time. Anyway, looking out the window of the automobile, I was sitting in the back seat.
You were driving? Oh,
okay. No, I fought for the window seat in the back there, and I got it that night. But I saw something that looked like five bright windows hanging up in the sky. I thought it was a reflection on the window, so I rolled the window down and it didn't go anywhere. Then I listened for noise, thinking it might have been a helicopter. No noise. Told everybody else in the car. Everybody got a good look at it for about 10, 15 seconds, and then it just blinked off.
So where was this?
This was in Cumminsville, Northside.
So if, I talked to your brother, your father, or sister, whoever else was in that car, they would say, oh, yes, I remember that day well.
They will.
So they converted the whole family of Andresses?
Yeah. That's right.
How do you say more than one Andress?
More than one Andress.
Okay, that's pretty
Andress
good.
Andress-I?
Well, yeah, that'd be good.
What do we got, Jim? What are you doing?
Jason is up. Hello, Jason. Heads up, Jason.
Not much.
What's the word?
I'm going to need to hear something, all right? Listen.
Jason, what's going on, man?
749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris Around Blade Night Talk Show. We're talking unidentified flying objects with Terry Anders, associate member of CUFO, Center for UFO Studies. What's associate member mean?
Well, I paid my dues.
That's what it means.
You're
not like the director or assistant to the director?
No, nothing like that.
What do you do for a living?
Well, I teach composition at Cincinnati Technical College.
Composition of what?
Oh. English composition, writing, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. You mean like forsooth and verily? And
well, I try to stay away from antiquated terms like that.
So you're kind of educated.
Huh?
Semi-educated, yeah.
Are most of the people that are into UFOs like that, or are they mostly a bunch of rumors?
It's pretty much a general mix. I try to stay with people that have some education, though, because they make the most sense.
And the most money. David, you're on with Chris and Rob and Terry, a teacher from Cincinnati Technical College, and Big Jim, who knows more about chemistry than you'll ever forget.
Hi. I have a story.
Go ahead.
A question, I mean, about the stories.
Yes, go ahead.
About all of the abductions.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of the people who have been abducted ever talked about aliens trying to communicate with them, maybe?
Well, typically it's sort of a one-way communication. The kind of communication most abductees remember is sort of a telepathic. No actual spoken words are shared. But typically the aliens don't respond to any questions the abductees direct toward them. And it's basically just the aliens typically are trying to calm the people down, because it's a rather traumatic experience to be taken out of your bed in the middle of the night and stuck inside a spaceship.
Just ask Travis Walton.
No kidding. And so it's pretty much one-way communication and apparently some kind of telepathic or thought transference. But there seems to be no concern or overt effort to communicate with us as though we have any intelligence whatsoever. So, it's a difficult thing to say. Some abductees do claim to have been given special information about the fact that we have to start cleaning up our act environmentally, or we're going to perish and stuff like that. We have to be careful, though, because often that's sort of a subjective projection that comes from an interpretation that the abductee is making, not necessarily an accurate observation.
There's a Captain Randolph Jenkins who said some form of telepathy was used to probe inside his head while he was flying his jet over New Mexico. Pretty spooky, huh?
Is New Mexico and Arizona a pretty hot spot to see an unidentified flying object?
Well, yeah, from time to time. Back in the, about around the same time the Roswell incident, there was a spate of sightings called green fireballs. which of course is an unusual color for a meteorite. Dr. Lincoln LaPaz was the foremost authority on meteorites, and they got him out there and they conducted his measurements and stuff. Never did find any fragments. In fact, they could never really classify the green fireballs as meteorites. In fact, Dr. LaPaz suggested that it had to be something different because the trajectory was inconsistent with meteorites, and since they never found any meteoric fragments, it's sort of just sort of hanging out there yet. So there's all kinds of studies that have been done.
David, you there?
Yeah.
What are you doing up this late?
Studying.
Studying for what?
Work, actually.
Where do you work?
I'm in the guard, and I'm studying some they're called CDCs,
mm-hmm.
career development course.
Right.
For my career field in the guard.
Mm-hmm.
You think when you're in the guard, you'll ever spot a UFO?
What's the guard?
I doubt it. I have one more question for you really quick.
Sure, go ahead.
By the way, if you're in the guard, you're going to be a Norwood cop real soon.
Is there a place on the Earth that has like a large number of sightings more than any other place?
Well, that's hard to say because what happened back in the history of UFOs, during the 50s, there were several flaps or concentrations of UFO sightings worldwide that would last for months at a time. In recent years, though, these flaps or concentrations have been in certain areas like Hudson Valley in New York, over in Belgium. They've become a little more localized. So there isn't any specific spot. You just have to be reading the literature to find out where these things are happening. Right now, we still have some debate as to what's going on down at Gulf Breeze. There may be some genuine sightings going on down there, but for the most part, I think there are a lot of misidentifications and hoaxes going on down there. But there is really no specific way to predict where a UFO will be seen.
All right, thanks a lot. Tell us about the Belgium case. What's it now? Didn't the Belgian government actually admit that they think?
Right.
You know, didn't governments? No. Just you say it. I'm trying
okay,
to say
great.
It. Okay, great.
They sent up some chase planes after.
Oh, what are you talking about? Why?
Well, they had a UFO on their radar scope, so they sent some chase planes out after it, and as they got close to it, it dropped. I don't know, about 1,000 feet in less than 5 seconds, which is darned fast, and. The kind of thing that, yeah, you'd pull an awful lot of G's doing that. You'd be, I guess, peanut butter and jelly, you know, if you were human.
So it'd be kind of like the King's Island thing that would just press you against the wall.
Pretty much. I think on a magnitude of maybe 100 of that, yeah.
So then what did the Belgian government say? We went up there, we sent chase planes after this thing, and now what?
Well, they had no explanation for it. They said, well, this is what happened. They show the a tape of the radar scope from inside one of the chase planes. They just have absolutely no answer. It's not a malfunction of the radar set because it showed up on different scopes.
So what was their conclusion?
Well, they didn't really draw a conclusion. They can't come out and say it's an alien spacecraft. They just say it's an anomalous phenomenon that deserves some study.
Has the United States ever even gone that far?
Well, the United States, back in the late 60s, the Air Force actually contracted with the University of Colorado to perform what they called a scientific study of UFOs, which actually proved to be nothing of the sort. In 1969, they released their report, and predictably, they found that UFOs weren't worth bothering about. Unfortunately, the report was set up with the conclusion at the beginning so that the reporters wouldn't read the case studies. If they read the case studies, they find out that close to 30% of the cases in this study went unidentified. Now, if you know anything about statistics, it only takes 5%, you know, an occurrence of 5 out of 100 times for a phenomenon to be considered significant by scientists. When you've got a 30% or a multiple of 6 of what is usually regarded as significant, and you say it's not worth studying,
wow.
You got something kind of bizarre going on there.
Let's get. Let's try not to break the microphone at the same time.
Go ahead, you big.
Look, I just broke that microphone.
You big lumpy.
Well, while you guys are playing with the microphone, I want to remind our listeners that there's going to be a lecture out here at UC. Zimmer Auditorium, April 9th, Saturday. It starts at 7, 7:30. $8 for adults, $6 for students, and you'll learn some rather fascinating facts about the UFO crash at Roswell. Hope to see you there.
Well, now, what business are we taking care of?
Okay, we're going to do that, and then we're going to do this again. All right, it's a pledge coming up. We got this Pledge Week thing going on. So you got to pledge money to WAIF because we're a lot like PBS TV, and if you don't give us some money, we can't bring you fine programs like Mr. Rogers, Sesame Street, National Geographic Special Edition, and Are You Being Served?
I watched that tonight. That's pretty funny.
It's a riot, isn't it? So if you want to pledge some money to us, and boy, we could appreciate it because...
The one guy's gay.
Really? 749-1444 will put you on the phone, on the air, with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 961-8900 is our pledge hotline. So dial up 961-8900 or 961-8900 and you can make a pledge.
You probably know the premiums for all the levels of gift donations. But for Chris and Rob only, there is a very special premium at the $25 level. A slice of pizza from No Anchovies on Ludlow.
Finest pie in town. It's better than Donato's. That Donato's is crap, too.
Three wonderful women run the place. It's a great place to hang out and eat. Chris and Rob go there often. But that is not an endorsement. Ginger! Oh, it's Ginger! Ginger, what up?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
That movie I recently seen, it's Fire in the Sky.
Yes.
Is that a realistic... explanation of what happened to them?
No. In the original account, it kind of got the Hollywood treatment, particularly with the abduction sequence. Nothing like that happened. It was not E.T.'s Inferno by any stretch of the imagination.
E.T.'s Inferno?
Yeah, that's about what it amounts to. There were,
you English comics, you know, guys always come up with clever, crafty things to say, don't you?
Well, we try. Anyway, there wasn't a whole lot of slime. In fact, he wasn't prodded or poked or anything like that. He just woke up on the ship, and he had these little gray aliens around him.
He didn't have to have sex with an alien that looked like Farrah Fawcett.
Nothing like that. In fact, it was probably an accident that he was taken on board anyway, because he wasn't really subjected to any kind of examination. And he was held for about 5 days, and finally they dropped him off... on the highway. He was fully clothed. It was, you know, he didn't come out naked or anything like that, as in the movie. So the movie's of course got the Hollywood treatment, and a lot of serious investigators were a little put off by that. Anything else you want to ask?
Yes, I had something happened to me. I'm kind not really skeptical, but uh-huh. Teeter totter.
Sure.
It was a few years ago. I was coming home from a summer job working in a campground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a deserted red semi. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to come up the hill, and I seen this real bright light, which,
right.
You know, I assumed was a car on the, you know, taking up the whole red. And I stopped and pulled over. And when I opened my eyes, the light that I had seen was kind of out in the field
mm-hmm.
next to me. But that's all I seen. I mean,
okay.
I was scared, obviously. Yeah. And I went home, and everything seemed fine.
Yeah. What you have to bear in mind is that, what time of year was this?
This is the summer.
Okay.
Could have been a deer.
Right. Yeah, caught in your headlights. You know, could have been anything. You have to bear in mind that we in this area...
well, this was in Indiana.
Okay, Indiana, Kentucky, tri-state area. Some
might
people...
Have been a basketball player.
Sure. Some people illegally grow cannabis. And there are people out there in helicopters with infrared scopes trying to detect the heat coming off the plants so that they can locate the gardens,
so
to speak.
They're a bunch of communists, if you ask me.
So you may have seen just a helicopter trying to find some marijuana. On the other hand, you may have seen something unusual, but you always have to bear in mind that the simplest explanation is usually the one that succeeds. And like I said, you got a 50-50 chance there of having seen something very unusual, or just someone trying to do their part in the drug against the war against drugs.
Well, another problem I had after that experience.
Sure.
I started to have a minor. I'm sorry. I started to have a.
Go ahead.
A minor growth.
Uh huh.
and I went to the doctor and...
Well, now, what did this... Describe this minor growth to us. And keep in mind that it's 3:30 in the morning and you can say whatever you want.
Sure.
Well, it appears it was a third breath.
Oh, yeah?
Hello!
You have a third nip, huh? They call you tri-nip?
So what did your doctor say, by any chance?
He told me not to breastfeed off that
one,
but it should be okay.
Okay. Well, you going to come to the lecture? We'd like to see you.
Completely and totally.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Have a good night. Wait. Don't be making fun of Ginger.
Hey, Ginger.
What if she really does hit?
Oh, no, I got her. Ginger, you still there?
Oh,
I wonder if she like goes into Victoria's Secret in the mall
no,
and
no,
like.
Stop! Now, what,
oh heck!
What if she really does have a third nipple?
Well, I don't know, but I was going to ask her how Gilligan was.
Ginger, all right, get it, Ginger. We used that one months ago when she first called.
Oh well.
How do other governments and cultures feel about the whole visitor from outer space phenomenon?
Well, there are some countries, in particular Spain, France, and Belgium, who are not nearly as covert about their activities and do try to make a sensible approach to the phenomenon rather than just trying to ridicule people. So it's a worldwide phenomenon, but the attitude that we see in America is not worldwide, although some countries do buy the ridicule line. But there are some who are trying to do some decent things.
Hello, Dragon. You're on the air with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Yeah. How's it going tonight, guys?
Fantastic,
so far, so good.
As you can tell.
I have a comment for your guest and a question for him.
Sure.
Have you ever heard of Bill Nell?
Yes.
I went and saw his lecture when he was in town the last time.
I haven't heard of him. Who is he?
He's a quack!
He's an investigator, I believe, out of New York.
Right.
Very informative, a lot of videotapes, films, mm-hmm. pictures, and he talked about Roswell,
right.
Section 51 and
mm-hmm.
everything,
mm-hmm.
and he was really interesting until the very end,
mm-hmm.
and for some reason he goes off on a tangent concerning the Philadelphia experiment.
Yes, yes.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
What is his deal?
Right now, he's got some explaining to do. From what I understand, my associate, Pat Packard, has informed me that there are several people out. I don't think he's been indicted or anything yet, but there are some charges being brought up against him, particularly for stealing videotapes. We're not too sure about his credibility. Let's put that. I want to say this as tactfully as possible. You may have been entertained by a good showman, but I don't know how much information you actually came away with.
Well, actually, the lecture was about 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and photos were very clear and everything.
Right.
But the actual information that he gave
mm-hmm.
seemed to be more secondhand.
Right. Right.
And whatever he said, he expects you to take his gospel.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, you have to be careful.
And, the thought of, other intelligence being out there,
mm-hmm.
it would be ridiculous for there not to be something else out
right.
there.
Right.
But to go to a lecture like this and hear half the audience laughing all the time is kind of disturbing if you want to
sure.
find out if there has been anything happening.
Sure. Yeah, and I think any... point he was trying to make is kind of weakened when he starts talking about the Philadelphia experiment.
Yes, and monsters from the netherworld.
Right.
With the photos and everything.
Right, so,
Yeah, right.
Do you think there's been an increase in aliens trying to make contact with the Earth since we shot that Chuck Berry record up in outer space?
No, I don't think so.
Well,
it was a good choice.
We stuck a Chuck Berry record on a spacecraft.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Set it up in the space.
Yeah, that won't get any place for a couple hundred thousand years. So unless it's been intercepted, but I don't know that they'd really appreciate Chuck Berry.
Well, maybe they saw him like on American Bandstand from in '55 or '57.
Could you imagine?
And them TV broadcasts are still bouncing around out
no
there.
No kidding.
You know?
Can you imagine an approaching starship that picks up I Love Lucy and all these other shows, and tries to make something intelligent out of that? You know?
Thanks, Dragon.
We're in big trouble.
Yes.
Keep tuning
Bye.
In.
Bye.
All right, the phone number here is 749-1444, 749-1444. Yeah. The pledge hotline is 961-8900, 961-8900. We'll be right back.
Here come the Martians, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're riding on their Martian bike. And we have to find our...
Cincinnati. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together,
we're scanning the heavens,
looking for something.
We don't know what,
but it might be there.
Something like that.
And take me to your leader. So Terry, tell me something.
Yeah.
How many times has a UFO abduction happened and he says, take me to your leader?
Hasn't happened.
Emily, if you're still listening, my favorite cartoon alien is that little guy that shot Daffy Duck. What was his name? That guy. That guy is my favorite. Hello, Brian. You're on the air with Chris.
And Rob. Yeah.
That guy is Marvin.
Do what?
That guy's name is Marvin.
Who? Oh, Marvin the alien?
Yeah, Marvin the Martian.
He's pretty cool. Did you know yesterday was my birthday?
The guy who shoots Daffy Duck.
Yeah. Got a question, Brian?
Well, there's a video about aliens by Megadeth. Something called Hangar 18. It has aliens.
Mm-hmm. Megadeth rules.
Yeah.
Megadeth, they rock pretty hard.
Yeah, it's an interesting observation because, like many things that happen in America, things become mythologized and absorbed into the pop culture. So it's not unusual to see images of aliens and Air Force hangars cropping up all over the place. A lot of advertising these days use these aliens because it's a recognizable...
Oh, that Miller Lite thing.
Absolutely.
They were partying. Miller Lite was partying with
Terry, do you think that Megadeth is the best heavy metal band, or do you think that Metallica rule?
Well, if I may, Led Zeppelin rates up there pretty well.
All right.
I am showing my age.
Has anybody seen the bridge?
Is that it, Brian?
Huh?
Anything else, Brian?
Is that all you wanted to say after being on hold for 3 hours and 17 minutes?
I'd like to say hi to Megan and Tim.
Do you like David Mustaine better as a blonde or a redhead?
Redhead.
Let's do a big shout out to Megan and Tim.
Redhead, he said.
Hey, Megan and Tim.
All right, Megan and Tim.